Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
We're kicking it off right now here in the studio. It's Ian and Chris. The phones are open. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We were joined a moment ago by Major Payne, who called the show to bring up this bill that's in Congress. And that's the reason I didn't bring this up myself, just because it hasn't passed. You know, whether it even has a chance of passing, I don't know. But it does. It is still kind of an interesting issue, and that is that there are some car companies, some car manufacturers, who are no longer offering AM radio in their electric vehicles specifically. So they're not cutting it out of all their line of vehicles. It's just the electric ones. And it has to do with interference. You know, some of the electrical components that are in electric vehicles, the electric motors specifically, can cause interference with AM radio frequencies, leading to a poor listening experience, right? Why would you want to put something in your car that isn't going to be a good experience? And so, according to U.S. News and World Report, there was a survey done of 20 automakers, found that 8 of them have stopped offering AM radio in their electric vehicles, including Ford, Mazda, BMW, Volkswagen, and Volvo. And while it sounds dramatic, the problem has a reasonable solution. Stellantis, I guess that's a car company, took steps to remedy the issue by planning to move the radio receivers away from the electric vehicle components in next-generation vehicles and say they use shielded components to reduce interference. Volkswagen complained, saying the solutions bring extra weight, which could impact the range of the vehicles.
Extra weight?
I can't imagine it's that much weight.
Yeah, like this just seems like, really? Like, I shielding doesn't usually add
that much?
Like, yeah, I mean, we're talking about like trivial amounts, I think.
Right, and if you move the antenna to the back of the car or whatever, then...
It's not like this cable could possibly be that long in the first place.
Yeah, I don't know what
it's a car.
I mean, are they shielding the engine or shielding the cable? I mean, or what? Well, I guess it's not really clear what components they're talking about here. I mean, if we're just talking about a shielded, extra shielded cable...
It sounds like it's probably a cable that's shielded.
Or moving the antenna to the back of the car where the engine isn't located. I mean, that doesn't sound... Yeah. It's that crazy of an engineering solution. But anyway, the point here is not every company has done this.
Yep.
Some companies have figured out solutions. And they've said, okay, we think this is important enough. We're willing to redesign the car.
You know, what this really is evidencing is that there are going to be market options, right? You know, this is a free market doing its thing. The government doesn't need to mandate it. If you want AM radio,
buy the car that has it.
Yeah, this is something to now be aware of and be conscious of, and your car might not come with it if you aren't aware of it. But this is why you should be aware of it.
Yeah, I suspect, I don't know what the demographics are of electric car buyers, right? Because they are more expensive cars.
Yeah.
So it's probably not going to be your first time, 21-year-old or whatever.
What's the story with satellite? I mean, satellite radio still exists, right?
Yeah.
Is that in these cars or are they?
Some of them, probably.
Okay. I know.
It's
my
usually
car,
an add-on option.
Yeah, I know my car came, I think, standard with satellite, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm not.
If it's coming standard, that's probably being subsidized by the satellite company.
Yeah, probably.
You get like a 3-year or whatever subscription, and then they want you to pay for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really sure, but I know that the reception for AM or FM or both is not as good when you have satellite radio for some reason. I don't know why. But
it doesn't make any sense.
There's some reason for it, apparently.
I've never heard that.
Okay.
Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense. I mean, they would probably just be two completely different antennas in the car.
I think they're not. I think it's the same antenna, which might be why the reception isn't as good.
Yeah, I can't really say because, like, I don't think you could receive a satellite signal with a standard AM/FM whip antenna. I think you need something else.
So there is
for
two
that.
Antennas, then, maybe?
Although they do have repeaters in cities for the satellite systems. So, like, I don't know. I don't know enough about the tech on that question.
I don't really know anything about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But
the thing I want to focus on here is the mandate aspect of this. So the proposal here is that the government mandate that all these companies that have cut AM out of their electric vehicles put it back and, you know, do whatever they need to do to make sure it's in functional order for the small percentage of customers that they have. Must be a small percentage, because if it was a large percentage, if people were telling Ford or whoever it was that, that cut it out, if their customers were saying, we really love the AM radio in this you know, this vehicle, AM radio is a, that's the linchpin, that's going to be my deciding factor on whether or not I buy this electric vehicle, then they'd still have them.
You know, what's interesting is, too, in this regard, car manufacturers have apparently brought back physical buttons because there was such an outrage of
the touch screens.
Yeah, people were apparently, I guess it's, I don't know if I read the whole story, but my understanding of it is it's something like people have been avoiding the purchase of vehicles with touch screens.
That's fascinating.
And so, like, the car manufacturers have been bringing back physical buttons.
Wow, that's amazing. I'd really like to know more about that. Is it like an option or a standard thing?
Like I said, I think I must have read a summary of it, but I don't actually have, I don't know.
That's interesting. If you guys know more about it, feel free to weigh in here. The number is 603-283-6160. Let's talk to Chuck. He's in Washington State. Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Chris.
Yeah, Major Payne, thank you for that call, brother. I really appreciate that commentary about the AM radio. I'm actually listening to you on 1340 AM in Needles, California, which has Free Talk Live, and it's on the internet now.
Sure.
What if the government wants to know what you're listening to? That's why they're systematically eliminating AM radio. I mean, let's just say I did something crazy 2 years from now, and it was on a thought path, and they needed to find out, well, why did this person do this? And they found out that I listened to KTOX on 1340 AM. That would be a valuable information. But at the same time, if you wanted to go ahead and just get rid of crap that people over the age of 55 really don't listen to, then go ahead and get rid of that stuff in your electric car. You know what I mean? So there's a lot.
I don't know what you mean.
You don't know what I mean?
Yeah, what are you referring to? The stuff in the electric car, get rid of. What do you want to get rid of?
Well, isn't that what they're trying to do in all electric cars, is get rid of the AM radio?
No. No, only some companies have gotten rid of AM radio in their electric cars. So what were you proposing?
I'm just making an observation about the way things are going here in I really called about mushrooms, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
In Vancouver. So, you know, how could you charge somebody with trafficking drugs if they're growing out of the ground right where you're, you know, at in the same city? It's not like it's fentanyl, for Christ's sake. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, they do it because they have guns and prison cells and men willing to use them. So that's how they do it. But I agree. I get your point. I mean, mushrooms are a natural product. They do happen on a natural basis, growing out of cow dung and things like that. And people have been using them for generations.
Well, even the bark chips that you get from landscaping companies, they have spores in them. And actually, there's a new genus of psilocybin that's been kind of discovered or rediscovered in Northern California and landscaping around apartment buildings, and it's the same company that's you know, has the same contracts. Wow, isn't that funny? That has the same contracts with all of these high density residential areas and hotels and whatnot, their landscaping areas, when they go in and spray in the bark chips, it's got spores on them. So I don't know. This whole mushroom thing, it's a big deal here in the Pacific Northwest.
Is there something going on up in Washington State as far as, you know, potential decrim?
Sure, there is. There's a legislator in my neck of the woods, Ann Rivers. She's a Republican. She's supporting a bill, and I don't know how far it got this legislative session, but she's supporting a bill to look into basically what the state of Oregon is doing,
mm-hmm.
and looking at using fungi and the mushrooms or whatever you want to call it to address mental health issues.
Okay.
And that's basically what Oregon did, is they decriminalized mushrooms and but you've got all these
they did a therapeutic program over there, as I
right.
understand it. I don't know what
yeah.
the recreational, I don't know what the recreational status is. I know that Oregon,
no, it's not recreational, it's they've tied it into mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's not like the marijuana industry right now at all. It's two separate. I guess they're taking the same path like back in 97 when we started talking about legalizing marijuana for medical purposes. That's where we're at right now with mushrooms over here on the West Coast.
Yeah, and it's not just the West Coast. There are some cities. Denver, of course, also has decriminalized.
Oh, yeah, they're way ahead of us.
Yep, and then also there's actually even a couple cities in Massachusetts, a couple towns, I think, in Massachusetts where they've decriminalized the possession of magic mushrooms. So it has made its way over to the East Coast. Ann Arbor also in Michigan has it as well. So it is starting to spread around. And, Chuck, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's go to Ricky. He's in Ricky from the Commonwealth in Pennsylvania. What's up?
Thank you there, Brother Ian. I love you. Brother Chris, good evening.
What's on your mind, Ricky?
Well, I'll get into my topic real fast, but here's one for Major Payne. I heard him talking. He can do what I did if he needs to and get a friend to get it. You can get it on Amazon for $25.
Get what?
It ain't bad for $25.
Get what?
You can get a radio. It's got crank. It's got solar.
Oh, AM, FM radio.
Right.
Yeah, it's got AM, FM. You know, a thing for your USB for your cell phone,
mm-hmm.
super bright LED, $25.
Boom. Easy.
Yeah.
No doubt on Amazon. Back into my topic, brother.
They're readily available outside of Amazon as well, like Walmart
sure.
and, you know, Target and
I'm
all
surprised.
Sorts of
they still
places.
Sell
yeah.
them there?
Yeah. I've seen the weather ones at Walmart recently.
Huh. Okay.
But yeah, they're readily
it's
available.
It's got weather too, and it's a decent radio for $25. Not the greatest radio.
Yeah, I mean,
but you know what? For $25, it's pretty good.
In an emergency, then it could be very,
yeah,
very useful.
I haven't really fully tested it, but it does work. I think that the USB, you could get a call out of it, maybe even more, you know?
All right. What else?
All right. But then, anyways, on to my topic. Yeah, what I was thinking about was being invited to the chat server, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that, FMA, Brother Ian.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was somebody in the chat room who wanted us to invite you. You can go to chat.freetalklive.com, and you can get the step-by-step instructions there on how to join it.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Now, I was very big on Skype, you know, and that's where I like the idea of the audio channel. Now, this kind of sounds like Discord there, and that's why it concerns me.
No, it's actually not Discord. It's better than Discord. Discord is a centralized server owned by a corporation that we did have at one time, but when you have a Discord,
that's another story.
Yeah, when you have a Discord server, you don't actually have a server. They have the server and they let you use it.
But it's kind of funny because they call them servers or something
for
like the rooms.
Yeah,
which is really weird because it's not.
Actually, the whole Discord thing was kind of my fault and involvement with Steven of Ohio. That's another story for another day.
Because
I was on Skype and he infiltrated that and tried to kind of take over things with two people from Skype, the woman and the dude that nobody liked.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about right now. I do remember Stephen in Ohio, or Stefan in his case. He was the guy who kind of started the Discord server for us,
okay,
and got us to move over there. Ultimately, that thing blew up at some point because their user restrictions are very, very ridiculous there, and essentially we couldn't moderate the server to their preferences at the corporate Discord, so they just snatched it away and shut it down.
I did have a question for you then, Ian.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's my
concern. Matrix is better because we run the server. It's our server.
Okay, but I just had a concern, Ian. Because, you know, I have to, by necessity, I'm getting a new old device. I'm not going to be using TalkBack where I can just tap and touch. It tells me what it is and I can open stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's not an experience for me. I used to be able to see. That's what I want. To navigate web pages. Now, here's my concern. Do I need to download an application like for Android?
Yes. Yeah, I don't think there's any web interface. Or is there a web interface? There might be. I think Element might have a web interface.
I think there is, isn't there?
I don't know. That's a good question, Ricky.
I think there is. I think you can go to, you know what's interesting is I think it's possible to use the Matrix stuff. Or so here's the thing with Matrix. It's not one server. We have a server, but you don't actually have to connect to our server directly because it's what they call federated. So you can connect to any Matrix server and then join a room that's on our server, basically.
Okay, there is a web app. So, yeah, you don't need to download an app for this. You can just go to app.element.io, and then you can follow the instructions at chat.freetalklive.com and just apply those instructions to the web app version of Element. So Element
open
source.
That's wonderful.
So there you go, Rick.
Yeah, because that's great. So you know what? You know, tell all the chatters. I'll be looking forward to that audio channel. And, you know, it makes my heart go bumpity-bumpity. I'm looking forward to it.
I don't think there's a, per se, an audio channel in there. You can do a
channel. I mentioned.
There are rooms in which you can enable an audio like Jitsi. You can connect through Jitsi. You can also send audio clips, so that may be sort of a way around it. So, like, if you record a clip, you can send in, you know, the MP3 or whatever, the WAV file into the room. So there are ways to do audio in Element.
Well, you know what it was, Brother Ian? In 2017, I was really big on the underground groups of Skype. You know, and that was a whole different thing. But that's a question. Why did you stop using Skype for calling in?
Because it's Microsoft and it's terrible.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, it's terrible.
And you know what, too? I mean, it probably is good anyways because most people, you know, don't have an application of any kind really like that. You know what I mean? Probably a lot of people don't use the SIP line either, you know?
No, hardly anybody uses SIP. But it's there for people that want to. Hardly anyone uses the SIP line, but it is there.
I heard the guy, sheriff from New Mexico, and one tip for him, the reason why I sound pretty decent on my crappy flip phone, this is the same way when I went on Skype back in 17, I sounded like I was in a studio. Put it on speakerphone. Don't talk into the handset.
No, that's a terrible idea. Speakerphone almost always sounds worse. That's terrible advice.
Worse. I hear myself all the time. I got a $30 flip phone.
Thank you for the call tonight, Ricky. I appreciate it. Generally, speakerphones sound worse. Just a fact. The number here is 603-283-6160. If you want to sound great, then take the time to get the SIP line option set up on your phone. Go to sip.freetalklive.com. Super important person, sip.freetalklive.com. Somebody came up with that.
I love it.
It wasn't me. I don't deserve credit. Let's continue here. Kadu is on the line in Connecticut. Kadu, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, I just want to say that the guest you had on earlier, he is a hero and he's saving lives.
Yes, he is.
And I want to give him his props.
Thank you. Yeah, you're referring to Dana Larson. People, for anyone just tuning in, Dana Larson was with us from the Mushroom Dispensary in Vancouver, Canada, and he's also doing drug testing work up there as well and literally saving lives. The thing is, you don't even know how many lives you're saving when you do that kind of work. I mean, he's testing 1,000 drug samples a month, 1,200, he said, drug samples a month up there. It's huge.
And I could see how somebody could casually listen and think, you know, maybe he's a good guy, maybe he's a bad guy, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I believe, and it set in with me as I was listening, this is a guy who's saving lives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I love about this guy, I already forget his name even though you just
said it. Dana Larson.
Dana Larson.
Mm-hmm.
What I love about him is he's very confident and he's willing to face the ramifications that he may face,
right?
And the judgment he may face, but he comes across as confident, But he doesn't come across as cocky, like he's unaware of it. And he just seems like a very brave, confident individual. So the only point of my call tonight was just to give him his props and say, dude, you're doing a fantastic job. That's all the reason I'm calling.
Thank you, Kadu. I agree with you. I don't have any. I don't know if he's still listening to the show or whatever, but I'm sure you could reach out to him directly if you want to. He's on social media, Dana Larson, and the guy is doing amazing work. And if you get a chance and you go visit Vancouver, stop in to see one of his stores. I bet it'd be a heck of an experience. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. By the way, Dana's other website besides the mushroom dispensary is getyourdrugstested.com, which is just amazing harm reduction, and you can't know how many lives you're affecting in a positive manner. It does remind me that here in New Hampshire, Chris, there was a bill this year, and I don't know what the status is right now. I think it was going over. It had passed. I believe it had passed the State House, but I don't think it had gone through the Senate quite yet. And it is a drug testing bill, so it would decriminalize the drug testing equipment. So right now in New Hampshire, it is illegal.
Drug testing equipment criminalized? That's weird. Like, you would think that it would be the drugs that you'd be in possession of when you're doing the testing that would be criminal.
Yeah, well, they also made the testing equipment criminal. So, like, it's in the part of the statute that's like the drug accessories. So, scales and baggies or whatever, right? Like, these things that are illegal.
I kind of understand their logic for, like, baggies and scales and things, but not testing equipment.
Yeah, so some folks, including our very own state rep here in Keene, who lives down the street, Jody, she's one of the sponsors, I think, of this bill, and it did actually very, very well in the State House. It was supported on both sides of the aisle. I think it actually got passed unanimously through the committee, so, like, it's a good sign.
You'd think that would have an easy time of getting through, but
the senators are a little bit more, let's just say, elderly and a little bit more prohibitionist. In fact, a lot more. In fact, there's some news here that I've been sitting on for a few days, and since we're kind of talking about the drug topic here tonight, and the legalization status here in New Hampshire is still on hold due to the New Hampshire Senate. Now, to be clear, I actually, on one hand, support the fact that the Senate has stopped the legalization measure that was being proposed, because the one that made it through, well, two of them made it through the House this year in New Hampshire. One of them was tax and regulate, and the Senate shut that one down. So I'm fine with that, because I don't want to see taxes and regulations. However, the other one was HB 360, which would have just simply ended prohibition on cannabis for anyone over the age of 21. You would have been able to buy it, sell it, possess it, grow it, and there would have been nothing the state could have said about it. It was the best cannabis bill I've seen in some time. They also tabled that bill, so it's kind of like stuck on the table for the rest of the term, and so it doesn't look like that one's moving forward either. At the time, I have some quotes of what the senator said in their quote-unquote discussion about legalization. Senator Bill Gannon, a Republican from Sandown, said he's opposed to legalizing cannabis. Quote, "For those who say we are a drug prohibition island, I say we are a drug-free oasis." yeah, he really said that.
Yeah, we're not drug-free at all.
More coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
U.S. USA News Update. Debt ceiling talks between Republicans and the White House are back on. That's what House Speaker Kevin McCarthy told Fox Business on Friday after negotiations were put on pause earlier in the day. McCarthy said lawmakers are, quote, back in the room and indicated the House could vote on a bill as soon as next week. NFL legend Jim Brown is dead at the age of 87. Brown was also known for his roles in films and his activism. Nebraska lawmakers are passing a 12-week abortion ban and restricting gender-affirming health care for people under 19. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz has signed a historic gun safety bill into law. The CDC says another death has been linked to recalled eye drops. Delsam Pharma and EzraCare have been connected to four deaths and more than 80 cases of extensive vision loss in 18 states. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That's 603-283-6160. It was just brought to my attention that apparently some of our rooms in the Matrix server are not accessible through the room listing, which is weird. And I'm wondering if it's because NSFW, not safe for work, is in the room title. Or if there are other rooms that perhaps are not visible.
So, I mean, there's definitely some, I think that's a setting on the room itself, and I do know that there's not all of the rooms are public.
No, but these should be public rooms. These are rooms that I made with the intention of being public. Anyway, it's something we'll have to look into, because I definitely don't want rooms that should be seen to not be seen, so we'll try to figure out what's going on with that. It's Ian and Chris here in the studio. You can join us online, of course, anytime you want. Over at freetalklive.com, we have many features there. And if you want to support the show, you can join the AMPS program at amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. That is where you can sign up. As over 130, I think, right now, of our listeners have done, including David Itza, who is a gold-level supporter. David is contributing $10 a month to the AMP program, AMPS.freetalklive.com. and that that helps us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. So if you appreciate the work that we do here, then that is a way to help us out directly. So all we ask is $5 a month. David is doing twice that. So definitely appreciate the support. AMPS.freetalklive.com. So we were talking about drug decriminalization, the AM radio mandate that the federal government is looking at passing. Also, I was going to share some quotes. These are some real treasures here, Chris, from the New Hampshire Senate in their discussion of why they don't think there should be legalization. Now, the reason they shut down the legalization bill, which I wasn't a big fan of, so I'm kind of not sad about it.
Well, the one of the two, you mean, right?
Yeah, they shut them both down. The one of the two I'm not sad they shut down because it had tax and regulate in it. And that we definitely don't want. Of course, the odds it will not get that are very slim because people like Chris Sununu, who's the governor here, he actually came out after the Senate killed the bill. He actually came out for the first time in his 6 years or whatever in office, and he said that he supports cannabis legalization. He just wants it to be done where the state has control. So tax and regulate wasn't enough control for him. He wants state monopoly distribution. He wants the, well, you know how the state handles liquor.
Yeah.
In New Hampshire. He wants that for cannabis. So, you know, it's going to happen at some point, but with people like Senator Bill Gannon saying things like this in the Senate, quote, "For those who say we're a drug prohibition island, I say we are a drug-free oasis." I mean,
is he delusional? Is he? I mean,
this is not comedy. I don't think.
Yeah, I really want to know.
It's hilarious.
Are these people being driven from, like, nursing homes to the Senate?
Like, they don't ever see the real world.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, this hasn't been the case ever, really. There's been drugs since before they passed these,
right,
you know, drug criminalization bills. And
most of these people understand that there's a heroin problem in New Hampshire.
Right. Like,
right?
How do you think that's working out?
Yeah, it's clearly not a drug-free oasis. And the fact that this man could even say that and be taken seriously is just shocking to me. But yet he's been in there for as long as I can remember. This guy, he keeps getting reelected and reelected. I mean, we're literally, some of these people, they're going to have to die. I don't mean violent or anything like that. They're going to have to age out of this office. They're going to have to literally
pass away
yep, before they go away. And he's not the only one. Lou D'Alessandro, this is a Democrat so the first guy was a Republican. This is a Democrat who is also really old, and he opposes legalizing cannabis. Quote, "The message it would say to our children that marijuana is safe and could be used without harmful consequences, and nothing could be further from the truth."
I mean, this is just crazy logic. I mean, we have alcohol that's legal, yet
it's totally safe. Yeah, it's totally safe, kids. Drink as much alcohol as you want.
Just because something's legal doesn't necessarily mean it's, like, a good idea or safe or, you know, anything like that. There's all sorts of products on the market, like cars and motorcycles, and, you know, there's different levels of safety, you know, for example, with, like, a motorcycle is potentially more dangerous than maybe a car because, you know, there's
definitely
less around you to protect if you get into an accident, right? But that doesn't mean we ban motorcycles.
No, in fact, in New Hampshire, you're allowed to ride a motorcycle with no helmet on.
Right.
By definition, that is an unsafe activity.
How is it sending a message that it's safe if they legalize it?
It's absolutely ridiculous. And the fact that the legalization movements have been active in New Hampshire and everywhere else for decades, this guy has been in hearing after hearing after hearing where people have explained these things,
yeah,
and he's still saying the same old drug warrior refrain. It's the same old line.
You know, it's interesting because at the same time, just whether something is legal or not legal doesn't make it safe or not safe, right? Like,
of course not. I got some bleach under the sink. You can go drink it right now if you want to do something unsafe but completely legal.
Yeah.
Now, there was at least a few sane voices. Donovan Fenton, who is from this area, he's a Democrat. He pointed out that there's major revenues that the neighboring states are getting. He said these are big numbers, these revenues are significant, and New Hampshire is kept from getting these dollars. Yeah, of course. People from New Hampshire are going to Vermont, they're going to Maine, they're going to Massachusetts, they're going to whatever's closest, and they're buying their marijuana there if they're not just buying it on the black market still. And there's a lot of people doing that. And you can see the cars in the parking lots. It's a federal crime that they're committing when they buy from one state and then cross state lines in order to bring it home. But they don't care. They probably don't even know that.
I mean, you know, the humorous thing about this is it is, but at the same time, the federal government doesn't have the resources to go after the small-time, you know, drug user. I think it used to be 3 million. I forget. But there's something like if it's under $3 million for like financial crimes, the FBI doesn't even investigate. So do you really think they're going to be going after somebody who's, you know, and it's a different department. It's not going to be the FBI. It would be the DEA. But the DEA isn't going to be investigating small time drug dealing, let alone, you know, a user crossing the border.
What else here? Senator Denise Ricciardi, who's a Republican from Bedford, said the pricing of legal pot will be too high. Quote, this is a segue to the illicit black market to come in and undercut and cause more harm, more addiction, and more death. Yeah, it's a really confusing perspective. And if she was actually coming at it from that perspective, I mean, minus the whole death and addiction thing, because that's ridiculous. We're talking about marijuana here. No one's going to die unless a pallet of it falls on top of them from off the Walmart roof or something like that. You're not going to die from smoking cannabis. So just putting that aside, you could argue correctly that if taxes are too high, black market sellers would still have the lowest prices, and so therefore people would still continue to buy in the black market. That's what's happened in California. That's what's happened in states on the West Coast where they've got like 25% tax at wholesale, 25% tax at the grower, 25% tax at retail. So, I mean, it really pumps the price up unnecessarily on the legal market. I mean,
but doesn't that just make the argument that it should not be
regulated? It should have no taxes.
Right.
Yeah.
There should be no taxes. There should be no regulation, because then you're not putting those who have maybe a better quality product at a disadvantage, and the people who have less money can afford that better product. And there's no need to, you know.
That's the question I would have asked her if it were me, right? Like, and these are just quotes from their discussion.
Sure, sure.
But if I were talking to this woman, I would say, so therefore, you will support the other bill then, right? The one that doesn't have tax and regulate?
Right.
And then, of course, she would say no and then explain why she wouldn't support that either. Looks like the final vote on the bill was 14-10. So you had one Democrat joining the Republicans to vote against the bill and one Republican joining the Democrats to vote for the bill. So it was not quite a totally partisan effort. And the one Republican who voted to legalize was Senator Keith Murphy, who's the free stater. So the one free stater senator did the quote unquote right thing here. It would be really tough to
tax and regulate.
Yeah, this is the tax and regulate bill. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be really tough to vote for this. I'm not gonna say he's bad for voting for this.
You know what it is? It's a wash, right? It's basically you gain some but you lose some, and you're not really ahead.
I would say it's if it stops people from going to jail more often, then I would say it's a win, but that's already pretty much stopped. Decriminalization pretty much stopped it. Like, there's no one is getting arrested for possessing marijuana these days in New Hampshire. And this bill would have allowed legal sales, so yeah, I guess you could argue it would make it so there are fewer people getting arrested for selling it. So maybe it's a step in the right direction. I mean, I could see the justification for voting for it.
I mean, I think the bigger problem here is that if you pass this, it's not likely they never remove regulations, especially with financial things, right, where they're making money off of it. So I think if it passed, it probably would be a bad thing in that we're not going to be able to undo it.
Yeah, that is the the downside. I mean, once you create a bureaucracy or you empower a bureaucracy to have control over something, it's very, very hard to get them to let it go. They will fight tooth and nail to keep their power.
Yeah. Right?
Which is why, you know, getting rid of the Liquor Commission is going to be a very hard thing to do. That, of course, would be a nice thing to accomplish. It would be a great
success. You know what would be interesting to do is not necessarily get rid of it, but simply open the market up to competition.
Yeah, that, I mean, so you would say to have the state stores, but allow other stores to pop up.
To the extent that they're profitable, it does subsidize, you know, our tax base, right?
Well, wait a minute. The taxes are subsidized by the state stores. So would your proposal be that the non-state stores would have to collect a tax on top of their?
No, they would be able to compete on an equal playing field. So
no taxes for the private stores.
Right.
State, however, would send its revenues to the tax coffers.
Right.
It's going to be tough to get that one to pass.
Because the profits, because what would happen would be the state stores would continue to send their profits to the state, but the basically for-profit entities that are not the state would get to keep those profits. So the pricing might be... might be the same. It's just who's getting the money.
They say that New Hampshire is actually the cheapest liquor in the region or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in all the Northeast. I don't know if it's all of the country, but because they don't have quote-unquote taxes on the... even though it's still revenue for the state, they don't have taxes on top of the actual cost of the product.
And it may not be, you know, it may not be as terribly run as a lot of government programs might be part of the explanation for that, I think. But the other aspect,
well, plus
of
a lot
this
of people
is,
come here to buy it.
Right. People are coming from out of state to New Hampshire to buy alcohol from the state store. And there's another aspect, and that's scale. Because there's a single entity, they're going to be able to get much better pricing than if you have a lot of smaller entities.
True.
You know, doing the acquisition. So they can lower their prices. And, of course, it's in the state's interest to have lower prices than the surrounding states because it then draws in more business from the surrounding states. So,
yeah, I would love to see some reform on alcohol in New Hampshire, and step one should be to just completely abolish the Liquor Commission. I mean, let them sell the state stores off, but I get your proposal as well. I don't think we're seeing any proposals right now on alcohol. I don't think the Liberty reps are really doing anything on that, and it's too bad.
I don't think my gut is it probably wouldn't go anywhere if you did propose a bill like I'm suggesting.
Because then they'd start screaming about, oh my God, what about the children? Because you know our state stores are just so much better at keeping kids from getting alcohol because no children in New Hampshire get alcohol.
And the real reason is because it would undermine potentially, if there is competition, the state's revenue, the budget, right? They're not, the state wouldn't get as much money from their sales because there's now more competition.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, assuming that smaller players are able to compete.
Well, that's why they would just need to abolish more state government, right? So if we can, whatever the percentage is, I think we looked it up once, I think it was like 8%. So it's actually fairly significant, all things considered, the percentage of the state budget that comes from the alcohol sales.
Right.
I mean, it's not a huge chunk, but it is a chunk. So if you can cut 10% of the government off, then you can just get rid of the alcohol revenue entirely, right? You don't need that anymore. Just get rid of it.
Mm.
So there was a proposal to get rid of the Department of Health and Human Services and get rid of the state police. We can cut them out, too.
For sure.
Get rid of the DMV. I mean, there's just so much we could do, but we got to have more free staters here. We got to have more like-minded, liberty-oriented people here in New Hampshire before any of that's going to become possible. Right now, there's not enough liberty-minded people. There's a bunch of them in the state legislature, but they're not willing to step out of line and propose this kind of radical stuff.
You're right. But we are making progress. I mean, we have our first state senator.
State senator.
You know, that's a free stater. So, you know, we're making progress. It takes time. It's a slow thing, but we do have
disproportionate
representation in the state, because our people who move here are going to be more active than the local population. They're going to speak out more. They're going to run more. And, you know, the more people you got up and running for office, the more of your people that are going to get elected.
So. Yeah. And we can accelerate it by accelerating the number of movers.
Absolutely.
And that's the key aspect to this.
I think we've done that. I mean, in some respects, or at least it's occurred in some respects over the last two or three years. Ever since COVID, the number of movers we've had record numbers of movers. So we've had record numbers of new reps. Or additional reps, mm-hmm. right?
Positions. Yeah, keeps going up.
Yeah, it keeps going up. So it's
everything's going in the right direction.
Yeah, it's going in the right direction, and it'll still take time. I think we're still probably a good, I don't know, maybe 5 to 8 years before we can really have real, I hate to use the word power, but real power, you know?
Yeah, I mean, before we get 200 free staters, it's probably going to take some, you know, another decade.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's going to take time, but we're going to get to a point where we can actually pass
200 free state state house.
We're gonna get to a point where we can actually pass some of this seemingly crazy proposals, you know, like getting rid of the state police, or, you know, we'll mm-hmm. get there. It's just, it's probably going to be a decade.
Yep, got to have more people, because those ideas have to not seem as crazy.
Yeah.
Before they're ever going to get the traction amongst the average person. Let's go to the phones here. Speaking of crazy, Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead.
Yes. I was going to tell you, did you know, George Norrie, he's an ascended master.
What's that?
He just came here on Earth to teach other people.
Does he claim that, or is that what you believe about him?
Well, that's what I believe about him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause,
how do you know he's not just a talk show host who puts a bunch of crazy kooks on the air?
Well, because I was told that he's a breatharian. See, he had a show about breatharians.
Yeah. Why don't you describe what that is for our listeners that don't know?
Okay, so they're ascended masters. So then they don't have to eat. They don't ever get tired. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty much from the other side. They're graduates. So when they come here, they are like breatharians. They just survive on air.
Yeah.
And then they just eat. And then the breatharians.
Do you actually believe that?
Yes, I do believe it.
Yeah, have you ever met one of them?
No, I never have, but mm-hmm. I heard stories about these breatharians. Yeah.
We had one of them on the air once.
I mean, why do you believe it?
Why do I believe it? Because so when they're graduates, when they come down here just to teach, that's how they are. They don't get tired. They don't have to really eat.
That didn't answer the question.
What's the question? I mean,
well you have to listen first before you understand what the question is. Why don't you ask it a second time, Chris?
So why do you believe what they're telling you, right? Like,
well, I mean, it makes sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
How does it make sense?
Well, it doesn't make sense that, let's say, I was told that Mother Teresa, she's ascended. So when she comes back, she has a special privileges to come down as a teacher. Okay. And when she does,
let's focus on one thing at a time here. I don't want to talk about Mother Teresa and what you believe about her. You said it makes sense, the idea that someone can live off of air. Please explain why that makes sense.
Well, because, you know what, if God wants it to be something, then so it is.
Well, it looks to me like God gave us bodies that require calories to operate, and in order to give it calories, you have to put food in your belly in order for the body to have the fuel that it needs to continue operating. Now, I'll give you this, Sarah, I'll give you this. There are definitely some hard-to-explain phenomena out there, right? So there are some people who have, let's call them masters, who are able to do a level of meditation where they essentially can kind of shut themselves down, right? Lower their heart rate, and they don't need to feed as often. In fact, there are some people that have gone for, you know, many days without moving, without eating, and like shocking, like they've been observed by science and things like that. They're pretty tough to understand things.
Right.
Well, that's but, reducing and the number of calories that you need.
Correct.
Not eliminating.
Right. I mean, so well, that's not to say those aren't really impressive feats. I mean, they are definitely impressive feats. I mean, for me, going 5 hours without eating is a long time, right?
Right?
To go for longer than that is pretty impressive. But to suggest that somebody can actually live a life to go to work, to get up in the morning, to go for a run outside or a walk or whatever, and then come home or whatever, and then not have something to fuel their body's needs is absolutely absurd. Well, why would you believe that?
Well, because that's what they claim, that their blood constitution is gold. It's not ours, it's iron.
So, Sarah, rule that says, I don't know who made it up, but extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. When someone makes a claim, the first thing you ought to do is say, oh, that's interesting. Prove it. Back it up.
Sarah, I got a question for you. If I told you I was an elephant, would you believe me? And if not, why not?
You are what? What did you say? For elephant?
If I told you that I was an elephant, would you believe me? And if not, why not?
No. No, because elephants don't talk and reason as much as you do. But these ascended masters have been on Earth many several times, and when they manifest, they act like he never gets tired. You know, everybody kept, don't you ever get tired? Don't you ever sleep? And he's not supposed to say, I'm an ascended master. My gold has a gold content. I don't have to eat. He doesn't brag about it.
It would be pretty easy, Sarah, if somebody had gold running through their veins to simply go into a facility and have a scientist withdraw the blood from their veins and then test it and prove that there's actual gold running through their veins. But I suspect you can't point us to any such study.
Okay, they're not here to do like this supermania studies or stuff. They're here to help other people.
Well, that's a load of garbage, because there are people who are willing to be studied. I will submit to you the Iceman. His name is Wim Hof, Wimhoff. I believe he's from Norway or one of the Scandinavian countries. And he's known as the Iceman because he goes and he will submerge himself in freezing cold ice baths. And
for how long?
And for a long time. And he can actually keep his core body temperature steady. Whereas the average person, if they were to submerge themselves in the ice bath, their core temperature is going to drop, right? Like if your core temperature drops too much, you will die. You get hypothermia, things like that. He's able to, through the power of his mind, actually do this and his intention. And he's welcomed science. He's encouraged science and has worked with scientists to study him. And they put him through the ringer. It's absolutely fascinating the level of intensity that you can bring through your mind work. So there's some really cool stuff that goes on out there, but I really appreciate people like Wim Hof who are willing to work with science to prove that he's for real. Thank you, Sarah, for the call. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of 3 major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.